Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi guys, and welcome back to Fight Like a Girl. I'm Rav, and we have Ella back today. Hey Ella, we missed you.
Hi, Rav. Hi, everyone. Nice to be back. I missed you guys last week.
Yeah. Did you get to listen to the episode? What did you think of him, Dad?
I did. It was amazing. You guys did such a good job. Nice to know that my shoes can be so easily filled, Rav.
Look, I wouldn't say that. He did a great job, but no one's going to take your place. But we're so glad to have you back this week. It's a pretty special episode. As some of you know, I did a little cameo episode on a podcast called Single Minded, which is hosted by Hannah First. So if you guys haven't heard that episode, I would definitely recommend that you go and check it out. It's called The Pressure to Marry and Then My Husband Ghosted Me. So Hannah reached out to me last week to pass on some of the good feedback that she's been getting on the episode, and we got talking about emotional unavailability and the different ways that it can sort of transpire, especially when we're putting ourselves out there in the dating scene. I think we've all experienced some form of emotional unavailability in our lives, whether that's being involved with someone who's emotionally unavailable or if you're struggling with vulnerability yourself. It's a lot to unpack. So on that note, let's get stuck right into the episode. Hi, Hannah. Welcome to Fight Like a Girl. Thank you for joining us today. We're so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have a third person on to chat.
Sore subject. We'll move on from that. So when we were chatting the other night, Hannah, you mentioned that you've been on quite the journey when it comes to allowing yourself to be emotionally open to men. Mm. You know, being emotionally unavailable is something that's often used to describe men. So I found that really interesting.
Yep.
Can you take us back to when you first realized that you might be presenting as emotionally unavailable?
Yeah, so I actually had no idea that there was anything, like I had no idea that I was emotionally unavailable. And then I basically in, when was it? January 2020, I went to Thailand. I went on my own. And the place that I go in Thailand, it attracts a certain type of person. People that are like on spiritual journeys, there to, you know, reset themselves, reset their lives. And I kind of went there thinking this is going to be just about romance and about getting sexy. And, you know, I don't know. I just had this picture in my mind. Anyway, it ended up being the complete opposite. And I met this girl there. Well, I met two girls there. And one of them, was a life coach and deeply, deeply spiritual and had gone on this whole journey. And so her and I kind of connected And then I went to see this healer. And I remember she said to me, yeah, she sort of said all this stuff to me about romance and about love. And I just burst into tears. And I remember on New Year's Eve, me and the two girls that I had met, we did this burning ceremony and we wrote down what we wanted to let go of and what we wanted to call into our lives for the next year. So for me, New Year's Eve is all about kissing, but like finding someone to kiss at midnight. But we did this burning ceremony and something really shifted in me, and I had been super vulnerable with these two girls that I'd kind of just met, like we all had. There was just magic in the air. And I remember at midnight, the two girls, we were all in separate parts of the beach, and all of a sudden they were like, it's almost midnight, and we all just hugged on the beach as we watched the fireworks. And I was like, wow, something's happening here. And I ended up, I think I just left that a trip and I just knew something needed to change. I didn't know what it was. And I started therapy a month later, in Feb 2020. And I remember my therapist like asking me to name emotions. Like he knew something that I didn't know. Like I could tell he knew there was something, but I was completely oblivious to it. Anyway, we got to like naming emotions, and I was embarrassed. Like I went red in the face. I was like, I had so much, I could name emotions, but I was having a lot of trouble, like tapping into how I feel and then explaining to him. So I'd look up and he'd say, stop, you're describing thoughts, not feelings. So I would always be very intellectual about every date I went on, and every experience was like sort of it was more about how I was thinking, not how I was feeling. And that was kind of really like the beginning of the journey, was like, oh, I had no idea that I wasn't vulnerable and that I was emotionally like closed off. Particularly in dating.
In that moment in Thailand, it shifted something in you, and then your therapist helped you kind of unpack that and work through that. Is it just being emotionally unavailable in dating, or is it across the board with like other relationships, like friends and family and that sort of thing?
I was more open with my family. I was somewhat open with my friends, and definitely not really that open with guys. I think when I reflect back on it, when I reflect back on where I am now, I would say no. But I was to some degree, like I wasn't completely emotionally like closed off to everyone about everything. But I would say now that I reflect back on it, I was hiding parts of myself, and not revealing parts of myself, like that was just for me. And I think that when you, particularly in like emotional and I'm sorry, in romantic relationships, I think being able to be yourself is so important, and like being able to communicate how you feel is so important. And I had no idea that was a thing.
Totally. I don't think anyone actively chooses to be emotionally unavailable, right? Like it's sort of subconscious thing, I
feel like you don't know until you know. Like you don't know that you're doing it until you know. And look, I think it's a spectrum. Like there's a spectrum of people that are like down this, like, you know, down the left, that they cannot and will not reveal any. And there's a guy that I know that I dated. He can't, like, I don't get anything. Like I don't think he would ever be able to reveal anything like real about himself to me back when I was dating him. And I think that then there's the other end of the spectrum where you've got like full emotional intelligence, which is not where I'm at, but I've met guys like that. I've been on dates with guys like that too. So I probably started like left of the middle. And so, but I'm moving more towards that kind of emotional intelligence, I would say, the more I practice and the better I get at it.
It seems like you're quite aware of certain things, like when something shifted in you. And then obviously there's a lot of hindsight now as well. So I guess taking hindsight, you know, into perspective here, do you feel like looking back, was there like a trigger event that sort of caused you to start putting your walls up?
I feel like I have gotten to the bottom of it more recently. So I don't know that there was like one event. I think what happened was, so my therapist got me to do this exercise where I tried to like, you know, get to the source of where it all started. And I think it actually started, the one thing that came to my mind, I was just reading back on it before this interview started, was body. Like, I had a lot of shame about my body growing up, and I think I then – those feelings were really – you know, I just felt – I was very like a yo-yo up and down. My weight was really up and down. I had like really bad breakouts and had really curly, frizzy hair, and all my friends had – like there was just a lot of, I guess – and look, I think a lot of women grow up feeling like that, but I actually didn't share it with anyone. Mm. And I think that's where it started, was like feeling really bad about myself and having really bad like low self-esteem, but never telling anyone about it. And so I would just push those feelings down, and then you just get really good at pushing feelings down and not opening up and telling people how you feel. So I do think, like, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that might have been the beginning of like the whole I don't share how I feel because it's too shameful to share. It feels too icky to share about it. So I'm just going to like push it down. And so I actually had a very confident exterior, but deep down, I think throughout my early 20s, particularly, I think it was covering up pretty low self-esteem.
That's crazy. It's funny that you say that you've got a really confident exterior, because you sharing that now, I wouldn't have picked that at all, that you would have sort of gone through that as a child.
Yeah, no, I was just like, my weight was like a real issue for like, and to some extent, I don't think that ever goes away, but I just would, it's because I would never share about it. Like, this is probably the first time I'm actually sharing that like publicly on a podcast.
Oh, good on you.
No, I've shared it with friends and with family and stuff, but like, I don't think I think this is a really common experience for a lot of women. I wonder though, do the ones that like are able to be emotionally, you know, more vulnerable as they get older, were they able to share that as children or as teenagers? Is it something that they told their mums about, and then they learnt that ability to be vulnerable and to like share their shame?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about as well. And I know this being emotionally unavailable is kind of a term that we often attach to men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all those rom-coms and everything like that, it's, you know, it gets bandied around, but as you said, it's actually, you know, quite common for women to be emotionally unavailable, maybe for different reasons. But do you think that women can just be wired that way? And as you said, like have past insecurities, everything sort of manifest into you sort of putting walls up, and it, like, as opposed to there being a trigger, like Rab said before, oftentimes I think people assume that a woman has had her heart broken and then she shuts herself down and she's never the same again, you know. Mm. But do you think women can just be sort of wired that way to be emotionally unavailable?
I actually think it's more about the media portrays being emotionally unavailable as like sexy, like a man, like we want to change him. Like we want him to like, we want to be enough for him to be able to emotionally open up. So I think that's definitely a stereotype that Hollywood and the media has perpetuated. But I actually think true vulnerability, and like, why would Brené Brown be so popular if this wasn't something that was affecting a lot of people? I think that vulnerability is like an issue for a lot of people. But interestingly, like, I think vulnerability is just as hard for women as it is for men that, you know, haven't practiced it and haven't opened themselves up to being more open with people. But since I started this journey, like, I've been so surprised at how many open, if you look for them, how many open and vulnerable men there are. Like, I guess my theory is that you attract what you seek, like you'll attract what you seek. And we always talk about that, like, you know, you're attracting the wrong type of guys. No, you attract what you seek. And I think that I didn't want to be open emotionally, so I was choosing guys that were equally not open, so that neither of us had to open up and we could just stay in our blissful like ignorance. And I think that
– sorry, I was going to ask a question about that, because I think I choose a lot of douchebags. So I don't feel like – I mean, obviously maybe I'm still in that journey of becoming emotionally more available, but did you feel like that at the time, that you were – that's what you were projecting?
I blamed men. I 100% blamed men. I never ever looked at myself and was like, no, you're attracting this because you're seeking it out. I was only attracted to those guys. And it's so weird now because now I'm so, so not attracted to those guys. And I am so attracted to like emotional availability and vulnerability. Like it's just when you, like once I shifted out of it, I couldn't go back to, I've been there. Like I've totally been there. And I think it's just like wherever you are on your journey, it's like you kind of will seek out people. I don't know, but I don't know if that's for everyone. I just know from my experience, that's where the journey has been. Like when I reflect back, I'm like, no, that was me. Like there was a lot to do with me in who I was choosing and who I was attracted to. I loved guys that didn't text me back, and now I love guys that text me back straight away.
Love that for you.
When you start going for guys that have like high emotional intelligence, they don't stand you up. They don't ghost you. They treat you well, even if it's not a match, they do it with respect and with kindness. It's really interesting. It's been a really interesting experience, actually.
You said you're more attracted to guys now who are emotionally available. Have you found a shift in the way that those guys look physically, or are you finding that the guys that you are physically attracted to, if we were to take everything else out of the equation, are you still going for the same type physically?
Oh, this is a hard one. So the last guy that I went on a few dates with was like, oh, so sexy, so hot to look at, but like very, very high emotional intelligence and very vulnerable. So he, if I'm going by the last guy I went on a few dates with, yes, but basically deal breaker for me now is walls up, and anyone that's like closed off emotionally is like an absolute no. So I have been dating guys that are not my usual type to look at. Have I been attracted to them? Not always, but I am just being very open to like putting my typical dark, tall and handsome aside, and trying to like look more at what's inside as opposed to what's on the outside. But look, it's hard because you've had a type for so long. So trying to shift out of that physical, this is what I envision for myself. But I definitely try to be more open-minded now.
And I'm glad to hear that you're sort of linking it to emotional intelligence, because that was one of the questions I had for you.
Yeah.
Is it linked to a high EQ? Because someone being emotionally unavailable, I just kind of thought it was like almost a character trait kind of thing. You know, I didn't really associate it to someone's emotional intelligence, but it's really interesting to hear that you do. And was that from like speaking with the therapist that you mentioned? Like, did they kind of make that connection for you that it's a EQ thing?
I stopped drinking in January, so like all sober dates, like every single date I go on is I don't drink, and he had said something like, I don't know, it just popped out of his mouth one day, and he said empathic, like he said the word empathic. And so I then sort of was like, I don't know what that means. And then I actually witnessed it on a date, and this guy, I think he could tell that I was feeling like a little bit uncomfortable. I was definitely into him, but I was like feeling a little bit awkward or uncomfortable, and it was kind of the end of the date. And I, like, every time something like that happened, I feel like he could sense it. He could sense how I was feeling, and that's like, I guess, a bit empathic. And and he would like do things and say things to make me feel more comfortable. And I find that guys that are able to really, you can really tell, like, when they talk about, like, you know, how they're feeling, it's just so obvious to me when I meet someone that's like in touch with that side of themselves. And they're not afraid. They're not afraid of their feelings, and they're not afraid, and they're not embarrassed, and they're not trying to be like, I've seen both ends of the spectrum of like guys that are just like, life's amazing, nothing ever goes wrong for me. Which is like
bullshit.
I think is bullshit. Like, and then there's the other end of the spectrum where they're just like, the level of vulnerability that I'm getting is making me really anxious. Like, I've had some wild experiences. But I guess you go with your gut feel and you, like, I started the journey basically with therapy, and I do spirituality and therapy together. Like, I'm really into my spiritual life and connection to my body and like energy. So those two things were happening. And at the same time, I also stopped drinking because I guess like the whole journey for me, those three things have been really important. Not going to be important for everyone else, but for me that was. And so I started started getting really vulnerable with the therapist, and that was like, he's a man, so that was obviously like different for me. Like, I've probably always seen female therapists.
Well, I remember I spoke to you about that, Hannah, when we were talking about it one time. Yeah. That when you said he, when you were talking about your therapist, I was like, he? I always look for a female, and I've just recently changed therapist as well. And my doctor asked me like what I was looking for, and the only thing I said was, it's going to be a girl.
Yeah, look, I don't recommend, just like some, I think the most important thing with a therapist is someone that you can 100% be vulnerable with and you're not hiding anything from, because that was my experience with him. I just felt really comfortable and I was able to share everything. So I kind of started with him, and then like I started to like deepen my relationships with my family and my friends in terms of like getting more vulnerable with them, and then they in turn got more vulnerable with me. But there was a moment that which I just mentioned, this date that I went on, so that really, it was like, oh my God, I've got so much work to do. I changed my Hinge profile to try to like attract more of these open guys, and because I wanted to practice, like I was like, I have to practice this. So I did it, and this guy, immediately we opened up with quite deep personal questions, but a bit of funny stuff as well. And I was like, I was just getting like so anxious, like every deep question that he asked. Anyway, we ended up meeting up for like a drink, and it just went deep straight away. Like, it was really deep and like all about like the connection. It was just, and I was so attracted to him. Like, I just wanted to jump him right there. It was just a lot going on. And so
Do you remember what sort of questions he was asking you?
Oh, we were getting into stuff like, I guess, you know, how do we define success and how we were brought up and, you know, hard like situations that we've been through. He was a dad, so he opened up about sort of, it was a lot. We talked about a lot actually actually by the 3-hour mark, I was like, I got to go home and go to bed. I'm exhausted. I was really tired by the end of it. I walked away from that date and I thought, well, the first thought that came to me was like, I would be so lucky to date this guy.
Aww.
No, I really thought it. And so guess what I did? I totally sabotaged it.
Oh,
no. I 100% like sabotage the whole thing, because do you know what, like I knew I wasn't ready, not to be gross, but like, because we were sending voice memos all week, and it was like he'd ask me quite personal questions, and I was just getting diarrhea. Like, I'm not even joking, my stomach was like, not my stomach could not handle it. Like, I was having such a like visceral physical like it was just a very like intense reaction to being vulnerable. Anyway, so from that point, it was like, this is something that I really have to work on, and I want to be ready that when I meet someone like this, that I'm where he's at. I just wasn't where he was at, and I don't think I was what he was looking for. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I ended up after that, like I wrote like a manifestation list, and I highlighted everything that I wanted that I was missing. So like, it's all about like that whole attracting like where you're at. Like, I needed to be the person that I wanted to date.
So around, like, I guess this sort of ties back to the manifestation list. Did you feel like when you made those updates to your Hinge profile, that was sort of a form of that as well? And like, what sort of updates were you making? I'm really interested in this being like a dating app user myself.
So with my dating app, I basically created it to like represent like more of, and to be honest, it's changed a couple of times, like as I get better at this. So one of my prompts is, a non-negotiable for me is communication. And then it says, open and honest combos are hot. So it's like a bit cheeky, but it's also like, that's what I want. Like, I don't want surface level chat. And then I find that anyone that likes that prompt, I've got a story about a guy that liked that prompt, the open and honest one. He was like the most emotionally available man like I've ever dated. And it was like, it didn't end up working out, but I saw my therapist after and we discussed it. And it was kind of like a magic moment. I was like, I am so sexually attracted to this man's vulnerability. Like, it was just like, what is going on? Like, why am I so attracted to this? Like, yeah, he was a bit next level in that sense. But
this is so foreign to me because I am so attracted to people's physicality. And I think it's a real problem because, I mean, I can see Ella shaking her head because she knows.
Yeah.
I've been there.
All of the things that Hannah's saying, I'm like, yep. Like I don't want to say the word lucky, but like I've always looked for that stuff in people.
Yeah.
Like to me, you can be, you know, you can look like Brad Pitt, but you know what I mean? You have to like go above that to kind of get me interested.
Yeah.
So I totally am with you on that, Hannah. And I know that Rev's still working through the those things.
It's interesting because I was exactly the same as you. It was like I would look past compatibility issues for like those material things or like physical appearance.
Well, I justify it because sex is so important to me in a relationship. So if I don't want to fuck you, like it's not going to work. And then it's like I'm going off how you look.
So the guy, the guy that with the one that I just said, the like super, super emotionally open, vulnerable guy, so for me, like I agree, but like, it was just like, cause we'd talked for like probably 5 hours and it had gone really deep. The kiss was next level. Like it was just deep. Like even though we didn't even know each other, there was like a level of connection there that I don't usually get on a third date.
Yeah. And I guess that speaks to what, you know, what Hannah was saying before about how like, she finds that attractive, so she wants to rip his clothes off. And it's the same for me. Yes. Like I find all of those qualities so attractive, and I've got to like basically talk to you before I can want to rip your clothes off, because that sort of surface level like attraction is like, it's kind of a given. I'm like, yeah, you're gonna have to do more to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I find that attractive.
My therapist says that anyone that you're like physically attracted to, like just have sex with them and get it over and done with. But like building intimacy takes time. And so like that level of like intimacy will take time. And he actually said, like we were talking about, like I now like wait, like I don't, like unless he's like, unless you're just going to like do a one night kind of stand or a two night stand or whatever. But like, for me, it's like now it's more about getting to know someone and building like a connection first. And then after that, yeah, that's sort of where my head's at the moment. But like we're all in different stages. Like you were married and like you're going through a completely different phase probably where you're like, yeah, I just want to have fun.
I think you're right. Like I think I do just want to have fun, but it's like sometimes I struggle to admit that to myself. So it's like I'm disconnected in what my expectations are. But anyway, that's a different story. I know when we were talking on your podcast, like you mentioned that you don't say necessarily that you're open to a relationship now, you're open to a connection, right?
Yes.
So yeah. I feel like for me, I think that I'm open to a connection, but I don't think I am because the way that I behave and the things that I do don't marry up to that.
The first step is to get honest with what you want. See, I thought I wanted just casual and I just wanted to be independent and I wanted to sleep in my own bed and I had all of these stories, but like I had to get really honest with myself, which was like, I want a connection with one person at one time. None of this open relationships, none of this casual.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that. Like I want one connection at a time with one person. I'm not saying it has to be forever. I'm not saying, but that's truly what I want. And it's taken me so long to admit that. Like that's I reckon once you've got that, then you can like everything else, you can like work. I've been able to work through everything else once I got, because my therapist used to say to me, he's like, I think you want a relationship. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I was so in denial.
Do you feel like it was your therapist that sort of helped you get to that point? Or was there a lot of other stuff that you did or work on yourself that you did to get to that point? Like, what sort of strategies did you employ to start helping you bring the walls down?
So, yeah, the therapy, look, the Thailand trip was kind of the circuit breaker, I would say. And because I was instantly vulnerable with these women, and I felt so freaking good. And I also, like, met this guy in Thailand, and I, like, was sitting at a restaurant, and I remember him coming up behind me and, like, he's like, can I join you for dinner? And because I was in such an open place because of everything that had been happening, I left that interaction with him and I just felt so good. And I knew there was something in that. And I guess, so that was sort of the first thing, was that Thailand experience and that, and I guess that really, I've always been pretty spiritual, but that really, like, supercharged it for me. Aside from my therapist, who also obviously suggested reading and watching Brené Brown, I also, like, read a lot of spiritual books, and, like, I'm, how would I describe it? It's like getting way more in touch with your body and feeling into your body. Sometimes I used to turn up to dates and feel really numb. And so now I, like, dance before every date, and, like, I make sure that I'm, like, very present in my body now. And that really helps me to open up as well. I do think, as part of the spiritual work, kind of being sober has really deepened the relationship with myself, but also the fact that I don't drink on dates now. And so I have to be fully present, and there's no shortcut to connection, because sometimes I find alcohol is a real shortcut to connection and chemistry. And you wake up the next day and you're like, I'm not that. Or you see them again and you're like, no, like, that's not. So I think that has really helped with, like, sharpening my intuition as well. I also, like, the whole thing with getting honest with yourself, about firstly getting honest about what you want, but also get honest and reflect on where you're at. As I said, I used to, like, blame guys a lot. Like, as an example, that dad that I went on a date with, like, I was like, it's his fault. I blamed him, but I, like, later was like, no, you fully sabotaged that. Like, what are you talking about? The other thing is, know that it takes time. Like, it really does take time to practice this stuff. Like, I genuinely think being open takes practice. And I started with my therapist, then it was my existing relationships, and then it was dating. And then the other thing was, like, I started to get really emotionally exhausted by dating, and especially dating vulnerable men. They exhausted the shit out of me. Every time I got home, I felt like I was having an emotional hangover every morning. I'd wake up. Vulnerable men, they're really, really exhausting.
Draining.
But my therapist said, like, don't give up. Like, don't just delete the apps and say, I'm never dating again. He's like, take a week off or take 2 weeks off. Come back with, like, fresh set of eyes. That's been a game changer. I, like, date and then I take a week off when I feel that I'm emotionally getting drained of energy, and then I start again. The other big tip that my therapist gave me, which I've been practicing, is I just don't care anymore if it doesn't work out. Like, I've done so much work on myself that, like, I know I'm going to be fine no matter what happens. And I think the guy that was really emotionally intelligent and really sexy and really hot, and he ticked every box. Like, I was super disappointed when that didn't work out. But, like, after a few days, I was like, it's fine. I'm not going to compromise on who I am to make this work. So they're probably, like, the main things aside from therapy that I've been working on.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting sort of advice there. Like, I think the no drinking thing is so interesting and so important, because it's been a little while since I've been dating and that sort of thing, but I would 100% lean on alcohol to get through those things. Like, even, you know, if the date was going really well, it would just even drink more, because I just want to, like, lose all of my inhibitions and, like,
yep. It's very, you know,
hopefully
it's so different dating sober. I remember that, how, like, easy it is to connect with someone when you're drinking, but also you're not full. I don't think you're fully present in those moments either.
I've got a story about that just recently, like, opened my eyes to the effects of alcohol, because I, prior to lockdown, had, like, slept with this guy a couple of times who I thought was okay. And, like, I saw him again recently and I was sober this time, and it was horrible. I just was like, How did I not see this before? And it's true. It's the alcohol. It's the alcohol impacts you in such a way that it can even, like, connection alone, which is, it's not a technically a physical thing. It can even make you think that, you know, sex with someone is amazing when it's not. It's just completely screws your inhibitions.
I completely, like, I had the same guy that I had this intense chemistry with, and we were drinking, and I went to Thailand, and I got back from Thailand. Like, we'd been drinking on every day, not like getting wasted, but tipsy, and so much chemistry. We hadn't had sex, went to Thailand, got back, wasn't drinking after Thailand. The set, like, nah. Like, it was like it went from 100 to 0, because, like, I actually was like, because we had fake chemistry, I reckon. Like,
it's like that.
Yeah, it wasn't like the real stuff. And now it's like, for me now to have chemistry and connection and all those things with someone, it's like special. Like, that person is going to be special.
How long would you say that you've been actively dating since you've really been working on your emotional availability, or like bringing the walls down?
I would say the journey started January 2020, and then I stopped drinking January. So, like, I've basically been on this journey since then. And then January this year, I got like sober, like I stopped drinking and started like mindfully dating, I think would be the right term. And then honestly, it's like the last 3, 4, 5 months is just like next level. Yeah. I wouldn't have been comfortable doing this podcast episode if I was like not feeling in a really good place with my dating. It's just been a fucking game changer, you guys. Like, I just, yeah, I can't even believe it. Like, I'm actually in shock with how much better dating is now. Like, I love Hinge now. Like, I love it. No one
says
that.
Well, I was going to say, I've noticed a shift. Yeah, I've noticed a shift in the content that you post in that time, because I've been following you for a while, and it went from screenshots of just all the atrocity on there to now there's actual positivity coming out of the stories that you have to share from Hinge. So it's really uplifting, and it's giving me a bit of hope. So.
There's definitely hope, but as Sex with, like, I genuinely, I saw this Sex with Emily meme, and she was like, the best dating advice I can give you, or the best dating hack, is therapy. Go to therapy. I was like, oh my God, I agree. Hinge didn't change. Guys are still the same. It's all like, it's just honestly like the mindset that you have and that you go into it. And a lot of it's about the guys that you're choosing, honestly.
That's such an interesting point, because one of my questions was, you know, going to be, do you feel like you're still going for the same type of men? But as you just said, you're kind of like, it's opening up.
100% no. Yeah. They are the actual opposite.
Which is awesome. That's so good.
So given that you're pretty actively dating at the moment, and you've mentioned a few different stories of where you've gotten quite deep with the people that you've been on dates with, what would you sort of say about the depth of the conversations that you're having with these people? Do you feel like you kind of get below surface level quite quickly, or is it a few dates before you start getting deep with them?
So this is a really tricky one, because vulnerability isn't about like letting it all hang out. It's about, it's like the chicken and the egg with dating, because like for me to connect with someone and to form a connection, like I have to reveal something about myself that's real and true. I can't just talk about work, the weather, travel. Like I cannot talk. If I'm going to connect, we've got to go like a little bit deeper than that. I've gotten to a place right now where I know where my comfort zone is for date one. Because I've been doing this now and practicing this, like I've made mistakes and I've like opened up too soon, or they've been opening up and I've reciprocated and then I felt really uncomfortable afterwards. So I usually I do think that you've got to reveal something real about yourself, and you've got to like connect on some level about something. And whether or not, like for me, a lot of what I open up with early on is because it's a safer topic, is my like career journey and like the journey that I'm on, not wanting to do 9 to 5 and all that sort of stuff. So that's something real about myself, but it's not going too deep below the surface. So I would say like for me, it's probably date one is like that. And like maybe it sounds like I'm using guys to like practice, and maybe I am, because I was thinking the other day, I was like, I just want to be like the best version of myself when the guy comes into my life. Like I am waiting, like I've written my manifestation list. He is coming into my life. I feel it. I know it. I'm like really sure of that.
Ready for it.
I'm waiting for that guy.
I don't think you need to feel bad about that, because I think when it comes to dating, I try and look at it in a lens of like if you were going for a job interview, right? You're not going to necessarily go and interview and take the first role that's offered up to you. Yeah. Most people will wait for a few offers, weigh them up, go for the best option. So yeah, absolutely. I think dating's exactly the same.
And I know myself, like I'm not settling for anything less than magic. I don't even give a shit if I'm alone, like alone for like the next, like I don't care. Like I really, and then in the meantime, I want to have amazing experiences, beautiful connections that may only be fleeting. And I reckon I'm having like, honestly, like the best dates of my whole life. And like the guy I went for a walk with last weekend, we walked for like 3 hours or 2 or 3 hours. And I decided like, oh, there wasn't really enough physical attraction to like see him again, but I had an amazing day. And I think that I wasn't disappointed that I'd wasted my time. I was like, this is another opportunity to like get better at this.
Love that. That's awesome. I know we've covered off a fair bit of this already, but what advice do you have for women who might be going through something similar at the moment and resonating with some of these things that you're saying?
I actually wrote down 3 questions to ask yourself, but this is if you're listening to me and like, I don't know if that's me, like, I don't know if I need help with this. So I had 3 questions. Does anyone in my life really know like the deepest parts of myself, or like parts of myself, I guess, do I hold on to things that I don't reveal? Have I got like intense fear about like revealing who I am, particularly in like a relationship or like an intimate relationship? And then do I shut down or sabotage people that try to get to know me, or those parts of myself that I'm too afraid to share? And I think that if you answered yes to those 3 questions, try therapy for sure. Like I can't speak more highly of, I guess, it takes time to find a good therapist, but, and look, it's not for everyone, but for me, that's been the biggest. Actually, sent an email to my therapist the other night and I was like, I've never told you this, but like, you've really changed my life.
Aww. That's really sweet. I love that.
Because yeah, I couldn't get vulnerable in real life, obviously, so I had to send him an email.
I love that.
You would have been like, this is an important step forward. Good job, Hannah. Oh, no, that's super important advice. And I know, I certainly know some people listening that would literally be, this will be really resonating with them. And they'll be, so I really appreciate you being so raw and open and honest with us today, Hannah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I feel fine. I don't have diarrhea. I don't have diarrhea. I feel completely fine.
Love that. Good to know. That was awesome, Hannah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Alrighty guys, that's all we've got time for today. Hope you're able to take something away from today's episode. As always, if you can please leave us a rating on iTunes if you haven't already. Share with all your friends and family, and thank you for all of your support. We will catch you guys next week. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.